In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, when the world seems dark, the thing that we need most is some reason to laugh out loud. Sometimes laughter can be dark or cynical or hurtful, but I'm talking about a different kind of laughter. I'm talking about the laughter we see in young children, laughter that is light and cheerful and surprising. When I was growing up, I loved reading The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. It made me laugh with joy and surprise. This book and its companions were hilariously absurd, suggesting that the most important tool needed for space travel is a bath towel. The worst torture in the world is to listen to Vogon poetry, and that people can instantly learn to understand each other by putting a fish in their ear. A special fish called a Babel fish, named after the story of the Tower of Babel in the Bible. Now, our first reading this evening seeks to give us a 2-minute summary of the book of Jonah, which is a book of the Bible that is fully as absurd as The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Sometimes we might approach our scriptures a little too seriously and fail to notice the genius of comedy embedded in them. So the tale of Jonah was told by our forebears in the faith, a tale full of absurdity, so surprising that it caused its listeners, children and adults alike, to laugh out loud. Can't you just hear the little children asking to hear this brief story again and again? When we think of the story of Jonah, we think of the big fish that swallowed up Jonah and kept him alive at the bottom of the sea for 3 days. But that isn't even the most ridiculous part of the story. The fish was just the warm-up act for what came next. You may remember, God called Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh. That was the ridiculous premise of the story. Nineveh was the imperial capital of the world. It was so big, so powerful, so corrupt, so renowned for its cruelty that no one would be surprised at Jonah's response. Nineveh was the worst place on earth. It was hell come to life. Its people were evil and deceptive and violent, not to be trusted for a second. They worshipped their king, who dressed up in ridiculous costumes and waged cruel wars and victimized whoever got in his way or maybe even just looked at him wrong. No sane person would want to go to Nineveh, especially not a pious person of faith like Jonah. So Jonah heard God speaking, but what God was saying wasn't making any sense. Jonah rightly questioned his own sanity, his own powers of discernment, and Jonah headed the other way. It took a storm and a big fish to get Jonah back on track, to convince him that he hadn't misunderstood, that God was serious about this task. And so what happened next? Jonah went to Nineveh, and Jonah preached the worst sermon in the history of preaching. In 40 days, you die. Right? Just 5 words in Hebrew. There was no invitation, no pleading, no proclamation of God's love for all people. Jonah knew that it was useless even to try. He was just doing what he was told, and good riddance to those out-of-control fanatics of Nineveh. And here comes the part that would turn the head of every Israelite listening to this tale. The plot twist that would make their jaws drop and cause them to demand of the storyteller, "What? Can you say that again? Nineveh repented. Nineveh repented hard. Nineveh repented so hard and so universally, even their cows repented. Please, I beg you, do not bring your pets to Ash Wednesday this year. But that's what happened in our story. And so the children, hearing this story, laugh at the thought of barnyard animals at liturgy. And the adults, they howled with laughter at the thought of those evil people ever changing. And the prophet told a story of what? Of absurdity? Maybe. Maybe sometimes absurdity is the only word we can find to try to describe God's love for humankind. God's love busts open every adjective. It outperforms every verb. It utterly eclipses every metaphor until all we're left with is absurdity and laughter. God's love is so strong, so wide, so powerful that the things it does will make us turn our heads in shock with our jaws dropping open wide and laughter bubbling forth because it doesn't even make sense. Speaking of things that don't make sense, this past year has been hard. My friends, we have been dwelling in Nineveh. The COVID-19 virus has ravaged the globe, killing family and friends and strangers. 400,000 people just in the United States. And we're a long way from being done with this thing. Partisanship has ravaged our nation with words and acts of violence, sowing division in our families, in our businesses, in our friend groups, and even in our churches. White supremacy has reared its ugly head and created a lot more division than just between white and black. And darkly fanciful stories like QAnon and baseless claims of election fraud have inflamed tempers and turned off the last possibility of listening to one another. And all of this can leave us feeling helpless, hopeless, disconnected, and lost. We are dwelling in Nineveh, and the doctors can't give us a vaccine for contempt. Governments can't change our hearts. Parties don't unite us with all of God's children. And so instead of putting our hope in any of these lesser things, the church invites us to remember Jonah. Jonah knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was no hope for Nineveh. The best he could offer them was, in 40 days, you die. And that is exactly when God did something different. Something so amazing, something so unbelievable and powerful that Jonah could only sulk. While the children heard the story and laughed, and the adults clapped with delight and amazement. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message that is encapsulated, among other places, in our baptismal covenant. When evil, lies, and conspiracy theories invade our neighborhoods, we will persevere in resisting evil. Sometimes we'll get taken in for a moment, but then we will repent and return to the Lord. We will proclaim by word and example the good news of God's love in Christ. We will seek and serve Christ in who? In all persons. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. We will strive for justice and peace. For whom? All people. and respect the dignity of every human being. What an absurd set of promises to make! Almost as absurd as the love of God which they are intended to reflect. Almost as amazing as the love of God with which these promises intend to make us complicit. Almost as active as the agency of God which changes the world in amazing, even bizarre ways. God is going to do something so amazing that it will seem absurd and bring involuntary shouts of laughter from everyone who sees it. And if we allow it, God wants to do that thing through us. The story of Jonah is a story of hope and laughter. Even the very worst the world has to offer, God is not done. And God's purposes will not be thwarted. How will our nation find healing? How will our world achieve peace? How will our communities affect justice and equality? How will our families be knit back together? Jonah didn't know it, but God was already at work in Nineveh, preparing the way. God is at work around us. Our job as Christians, as inheritors from those apostles that Jesus called from their fishing nets and their fishy stories, our job is to look beyond conventional expectations, to respond in faith to God's outrageous invitation to each of our lives, and to be open to the head-turning, jaw-dropping, laughter-inducing activity of God in the world around us. Amen.